Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
And a very good evening and welcome to the Astronomy Show right here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. This is the show that brings you the latest news, discoveries and all sorts of other things from all corners of the universe. Little Ben is a little bit under the weather at the moment. I hope I have him in line. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening, John.
Ah, there you are. Yeah, I've sort of, you're a tiny bit under, but we'll talk to you in just a second. Yeah. We welcome, of course, any questions or queries, comments or questions and anything of the astronomical nature, and the email is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie, and you can text us on 087-179-1032. And just before we go into what to see in the sky, we go back to Ben just for a second. And you rang me first, well, I won't say first thing this morning, Ben, but about the partial solar eclipse.
We had a partial solar eclipse all over Ireland. This morning it started at 6 minutes past 10, and maximum eclipse was at 8 minutes to 11, and then it was over about an hour later. I can tell you a bit about my experience I'm in West Dublin at the moment. I was this morning, and there was a good bit of cloud about, but there were lots of clear patches, and I got pretty good views, and I had my, of course, I had my solar filters, my little eclipse shades, and also my solar filters for my 15 by 70 binos, which was really handy, and I got some really nice views of it. And up until about 10 or 20 minutes before the maximum at about 10 to 11, and after that it was clouded out, but it was certainly well worth keeping an eye out for it. You wouldn't really notice if you're out in the street, especially when the scurrying clouds come across. That would have a greater effect than there's about 10% of the sun from our perspective here in Dublin. About 10% of the sun was covered by the moon, and about 25% of the circumference from about the 9 o'clock mark to about the midnight, 12 o'clock mark on the sun. Was covered from, and that was at maximum. But even from the first contact at 6 minutes past at 10 this morning, I could see it immediately, and between the clouds now, I could see it. It was very good, and I know the Irish Astronomical Society had a viewing up in the Phoenix Park as well. I haven't spoken to anyone there yet today to see how that went, but I think from most parts of the country, I would imagine there was a few clear patches, and I hope there was a few people got to see it, and hopefully they'll text in on 087-179-1032 and
very good.
Let us know where they were and what they saw and what they thought of it all.
Yeah, this is the last one now of 2022, and it was earlier on today. Now, I was over on the north side of the city when you rang, and it was still a little bit cloudy as well, which is not too bad if you're trying to take a few photographs with your phone as it sort of dulls it down a little bit, whereas if it's in direct sunlight you get this white haze, so I didn't see too much there. But I did use the old trick with the A4 sheet on the floor, a little sheet of A4 with a pinhole in it, and just project it onto the floor, and I did get to see a little bit of that as well, so in between the clouds and things. So it was good overall, and I hope a lot of people saw it.
Let's hope so, and I'll say they can drop us an email or a WhatsApp on 087-179-1032. And hopefully, I'm hoping it'll be clear in the morning as well, about 7:30, when the International Space Station goes over. I don't generally go out to have a look in the morning, but 7:28 to 7:34 a.m. tomorrow morning, the International Space Station is giving a good pass from our vantage point here. And hopefully, it'll be clear. It'll go above Orion and below Mars. I think Mars is just above Orion at the moment, but I know you're going to get the what the sea and the sky details in a few moments.
Yeah, you will get to see the space station an hour and a bit beforehand at 5:54.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, it's only a small...
Too early in the morning for me.
Yeah, I know, but it can be if you're up raiding the fridge or something like that. You're going to get to see 3 minutes at 25 degrees above the horizon. Just comes in at the south-southeast. And again, as you say, Ben, 7:27 for 7 minutes. That's a good pass. Hopefully tomorrow night or tomorrow morning will be a good cloudless morning. And it's a lot higher in the sky. At that stage, it's 59 degrees. You didn't by any chance get to see any of the Orion meteor shower?
I didn't, no. I think it was cloudy when I went out.
I got one or two and that was about it, but I was out about 3 o'clock in the morning, just raiding the fridge. No. That's what I do with that sort of time as well, so. Yeah, so.
I was definitely in the land of Nod then.
I think most of us should be at that stage. Be nuts not to. There we go. So, you enjoy the solar eclipse. That's the last one we get to see. I'm not sure when the next one is, actually.
This morning's one wasn't total anywhere on Earth. I think it's one you had to go up to, even up in the Shetland Islands. I think it was probably I don't know how clear it was up there now, but they had a bit more coverage. But the next total one, I think there's one in October of next year, but again, it's a very inaccessible place. I think that goes across Borneo or somewhere like that, and East Timor. Not easy to get from our point of view, but I'm looking forward to the Monday, April 8th, 2024, across the USA, which is at least that's handy to get to. And I was actually last night at a IAS, Irish Astronomical Society lecture, which was they had back in place now in Ely Place in person, but I was got in by Zoom because, of course, I'm still under the weather. I don't want to spread any bugs to anybody. But Donald Driscoll gave a very good talk, and he was talking about eclipses and just reminding me that there's also a fairly decent one in 2026 as well, which will go across northern Spain. It'll come down the southwest coast of Ireland from around about Iceland. You'll see it in Reykjavik, and comes around the west coast and southwest coast of Ireland and swings into northern Spain. It's probably the easiest place to get to for that. That'll be kind of late in the evening on that day.
Yeah, the words from the wise man. The wise man who reads up on these things. And no doubt we'll have a little call from when you're away at that one. Is it a Monday, that particular one?
Monday, April 8th, 2024.
With that in the diary, we might speak to you on the 9th. Before you come home.
Monday. Oh, yes.
Yeah, so there we go. The Orionids are still in our evening skies, but they did peak between the 21st and the 22nd at its highest, but they're around until November the 7th if you did get to miss them. And they come from the famous Halley's Comet, and this is the cause of this particular shower. So it's a slowish affair, and it's a big, big wide tail that we go through. It's good fun to watch as well. I remember Halley was in our skies in the 90s. Was it the 90s, early 90s? Yeah, it's outside our front door. Anyway, that's about it. So you're all right. Hopefully you'll be A-OK for next week to come back in. And
yes. Thank you, John. Yes, I look forward to being back in person next week, next Tuesday.
Yeah, and we'll let you recover in peace, all right? Unless you have something else to add quickly.
Not at the moment. I'm sure you have the rest of it well covered.
I'll go into the planets now. Anyway, from me to you, Ben, look after yourself. We'll see you next week, okay?
Okay, thank you, John. Good luck. Bye.
But unfortunately, Ben is a little bit under the weather just at the moment. He rang me this morning and said, there's a possibility I won't be in. You're not coming in, and that's just the end of it. Anyway, let's have a quick look at around what's in the skies just at the moment. And Ben just mentioned earlier on that tomorrow morning at 5:54 a.m. we've a 3 minute pass of the International Space Station, and again at 7:27 a.m. which is great. And it happens again on the 27th, which is Thursday, at 5:08 a.m. just for 1 minute, and October the 27th at 6:41 a.m. just an hour and a half later for 5 minutes. So you can Google all the times. It's quite easy to do. It's just a thing called Spot Station, and just put in location Dublin, and that's where you get to see that. So a quick look around the planets. Mercury, unfortunately, is sinking away into the sunrise glow at the moment. Good luck if you're having a look for that. And even at magnitude -0.1, still not going to see it because it's just too close to the sun. Venus is hidden in conjunction with the sun at the moment, so it is unfortunately unobservable for the rest, maybe the rest of the year now at this stage. Mars is getting brighter. It's -1.0. And it's in eastern Taurus. It clears in the east-northeast horizon around 8 or 9 p.m. And it gains a little bit of altitude for most of the night. And it still creeps eastward. And it's just, if you're interested and you know where you are, it's just passed between the horn tips of Taurus and Beta and Zeta Tauri. I think I'm going to have to Google those as well. So Orange Aldebaran is a little bit fainter at +0.9. And it sparkles to Mars's upper right by about a fist and a half. So the two of them are side by side at the moment. So Mars is the lower right of Betelgeuse in Orion as well. And I've been watching that. I saw it again last night. And Jupiter is a fantastic sight. It's just a month past opposition. It's in the early evening. And it blazes whitely high in the southeast at -2.8, and the more minuses you have in the magnitude, the brighter it is, and it stands at its highest in the south around between 10 and 11 p.m. Saturn, on the other hand, in magnitude +0.7, is quite dim. It glows high in the south, right in the south, just right after dark, and as night progresses, it moves lower towards the southwest and sets around 1 a.m. Uranus 5.6 and Neptune 7.8, very, very dim. Unfortunately, they're viewable only really in good binoculars or a telescope by the mid to late evening. And sunrise tomorrow the 26th, 8:12, that's 12 minutes past 8, and setting at 18:05. And if you like the darkness, this is very interesting. The moon at the moment is at 0.2%. So if you get to see a chance of getting to view the moon at 0.2%, that would be brilliant. Unfortunately, we'll have to wait a day or two before we see the crescent appearing in the skies. But it rises tomorrow morning at 9:27 and sets at 18:27, which is just 27 minutes past 6. And it's set this evening at 18:11, which is 11 minutes. So there's a little bit of a difference in the time as we watch it creep across the sky. And I meant to say to Ben when he was on that seemingly the auroras over the last few days up in Scotland direction and further north, they were supposedly very, very good. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see any here. But there were views on the TV, if you were watching the TV on the news. And very, very, I love watching auroras. I went to Tromsø and I also went to Reykjavik to chase a couple of those. And I didn't get to see any in Reykjavik, which was really disappointing. But it was the first time we went to Iceland, so we didn't have a problem. We were geysers and frozen waterfalls and all that sort of thing. So the sun is getting, I suppose it's getting more active at the moment, and next few years it'll certainly put on some fantastic aurora displays. Well, you're listening to 103.2 Dublin City FM. John Dixon here. Unfortunately, no Ben this evening, but we were talking to him a moment ago by phone, and he hopefully will be back with us raring to go next week between 8:30 and 8:30 as usual. So here's an interesting thing I picked up earlier on. About two days ago, some auroras blasted a 250-mile-wide hole in the Earth's ozone layer. And these particular auroras set off spectacular light shows in the night sky. And they are also illuminating another reason the ozone layer has been eaten away, which is not particularly good. So the blame, I think, is pointed towards humans for much of the ozone layer's depletion. But, you know, there are other reasons and areas as well. So it's known as an isolation proton aurora and has revealed the cause of ozone depletion that comes from space. So there's a little bit of action from that from outer space as well, where the charged particles in plasma belched out by solar flares and coronal mass ejections, which keep gnawing at our ozone layer. But if you get to see one of these or get a chance to see an aurora, do by all means, it's brilliant. Now, just some news on SpaceX. It has just recently deployed its 3,500th Starlink satellite. It successfully launched its latest round of Starlink satellites on Thursday last, bringing the total number in orbit to more than 3,500, and the company confirmed in a celebratory post. And, of course, launched by the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket at 10:50 EDT. Knock a few hours onto that, so that's about 10 to 6 our time over here. And this rocket was carrying a batch of 54 satellites into low Earth orbit and the fourth shell of the company's Starlink constellation. And these satellites were deployed into orbit around 15 minutes after the rocket lifted off from the launch pad. So as it just creeps into space, the little satellites sprinkle out into our evening skies, just adding a little bit more light and a bit more twinkle. And just to keep with that as well, there's more news about its SpaceX's announcement that Starlink internet services will be available on airplanes. Now, going back a number of years, this was a no-no at all. They always used to get you to turn your telephones off. So what has changed? We just don't know. So SpaceX announced that its satellite internet service, Starlink, will be available on select airplanes beginning next year. And for those of you who like the technology, they're going to offer an internet speed of up to 350 megabytes per second to each plane. That's equipment includes its Aero Terminal, which says it's fast enough for video calls, online gaming, and other high data rate activities. It's going to be interesting. There'll be a lot of noise on an aircraft if you're flying over the next year on one of these particular flights. So look forward to that if you're a tech guru. And you will now be able to get the internet service on airplanes very soon. We'll keep an eye on that particular one as well. Now, why did NASA try to crash land on Mars? There's a big question for you. Like, if you're looking at the photograph, it's like a car's crumpled zone. And the experimental shield lander is designed to absorb a terrifically hard impact. And NASA has successfully touched down on Mars 9 times at this particular time, relying on its cutting-edge parachutes and massive airbags and jetpacks to set the spacecraft safely onto the surface. Now engineers are testing whether or not the easiest way to get Martian surface is to crash. So they're going to let one of these satellite-y things just go straight through the atmosphere. And it looks like a roof upside down with little perforations. It's worth a look on the internet. And it's going to place this billion-dollar rover with the current landing systems with this as well, and just let this particular spacecrafty type thing. It looks like a wall with holes in it. So it has a crumpled zone. So they use the other rover to go over and investigate and send back pictures of what actually has happened when it crashes into Mars in the not-too-distant future. And NASA is also to increase the Artemis fleet. Orders have been placed for 3 more crew capsules, and it's furthering its plans to set up a space station on the moon and send the first astronauts to Mars. And that'll be interesting to see, because they are not cheap, these things. So, and these are the ones that will bring people up as well. So the cost of the 3 capsules, just if you're interested, is about $1.99 billion. There's a lot of zeros after that. And the new Orion crew capsules will be used for the Artemis 6 and 6 to 8, which are expected to launch in late 2020s into the 2030. So we've a little bit of time to wait before any of this happens as well. And how to allow astronauts not only to survive but thrive in alien environments is still a big question. And the ISS experiments reveal the risks for future human space flights. And an international team of researchers has conducted a long-term experiment aboard the ISS to test the effect of space radiation. And this is one of the big things that they're worried about on mouse embryonic stem cells. Their findings will contribute to helping scientists better assess the safety and risks related to space radiation for future human space flights. And this, as I say, is a big, big worry. So they're studying away at that one. And no doubt they'll come back and see if it's in any way safe to go anywhere near Mars or even the moon again, to with the environment that, out there as well. So, and NASA is also to resume spacewalks after an investigation into the close call. And they just approved the resumption of routine spacewalks outside the ISS after a 7-month pause. Now, I didn't realize it was that much. It just feels like a click of the finger and a mild pause after finishing an October flight readiness review. So looking forward to seeing a few more of the NASA spacewalks. And they had a couple of close calls with the water getting into helmets, which wasn't supposed to happen. This was part of the cooling systems that they had as well. So that's good news to hear from there. Now, the NASA instrument to measure the temperature, pressure and wind on Venus. This is known as the VASI, V-A-S-I, so it's the Venus Atmospheric Structure Investigation. And this instrument aboard a NASA Deep Atmosphere investigation of noble gases and chemistry and imaging and Da Vinci and mission to Venus, together with other instruments on this particular mission, aims to investigate Venus's mysterious atmosphere. You don't want to be in this place. It wouldn't last too long on that one. So, VASI will be installed on the Da Vinci mission descent sphere to parachute through Venus. And the descent sphere carries a sophisticated suite of 5 instruments, including VASI collectively, designed to study the characteristics of the atmosphere and measure how they change it as it descends. So, no idea just yet exactly when they're going to do this, but it's on the plans. Now, if any of you have been watching photographs of Mars over the last number of years, certainly since we landed Spirit and Opportunity back in 2004, they've been looking at shapes that look like faces. They've been looking at what they think are rats and things. And now, to celebrate Halloween this weekend and investigating a ghoulish rock from the red planet, and the question is, have you ever seen the faces on Mars? Now, I have, Ben has, and I'm sure a lot of you have as well, but they're just tricks of the light and the way they hit the surface. So, what about the weirdly shaped rocks resembling animals and bones? I'm sure we get to see those as well. And rocks with spooky holes and crevices, especially for this particular weekend. So you can Google this. And over the course of Perseverance's time on Mars, multiple images captured by the Mastcam Z, and this is the instrument aboard the rover, and they've garnered special attention for the wider public, and it's a recent example of this involvement with the Mastcam. And it's a particular photograph that looks a ghoulish shaped face on a rock right on Mars. And again, it's just the way the photograph was taken and maybe the way that the light was hitting the particular area of the zones on the rocks as well. So I think it's fascinating the way that they can do this. In fact, if you look at your own ceiling, you can probably, if you have a wooden ceiling or anything like that, you can probably see shapes of aliens and all sorts of things through the knots and things like that. So why do we see faces and other familiar shapes in rocks? And the phenomenon of this is by seeing familiar patterns and objects where none exist is it's called pareidolia. That's the word for it. It's best, I suppose, exemplified by a popular image photograph from the Viking 1 orbiter spacecraft and the Cydonia Mensae Mesa, known as the face on Mars. And maybe we should all just Google that particular one and get an idea what it is. So for this particular weekend, you can get to see a face on Mars. It's pretty scarish, I must say. It's got two squinty eyes at the top, a big nose that sticks out, and a mouth as well. So that's really weird. And just before we go, the twin tail has been revealed in the new Hubble image of Didymos and Dimorphos, the system following the DART impact. Two tails of dust were ejected from the Didymos-Dimorphos asteroid, and these are now seen in the new images from the impact on September 27, 2022. And it's that's another thing worth seeing as well, because that's one that we made as we crashed it into the little rock that goes round the asteroid as well. And just one more before we go. The Chang'e 5 samples seemingly reveal how young volcanism occurred on the moon. And this is the new study led by Professor Chen Yi, and she's from the Institute of Geology and Geophysics of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, and provides an answer to the question of how young volcanism recurred or occurred on the moon. So these findings were actually published in Science Advances on the 21st of October. So if you'd like to Google that, see how the results there as well, see how old and how many volcanoes and things were on the moon. So that is unfortunately just about it from me for this evening. And that email address for comments or questions is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. Of course, thanks to Ben for being on the other end of the phone line at the start of the program this evening. Hopefully he will be back with us next Tuesday live here in studio. And thanks again to James Sweeney for making the show available as a podcast, and to Conor Lennon for making it available on astronomy.ie. That's all from me, John Dixon, for this particular edition of the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Thanks, of course, for joining me. And next we have Hello China at 9 p.m. We have Threads with Bren Lynott. At 11 p.m. we have Ear to the Globe with Nigel Wood, and he sets out with world music. And after midnight, After Hours with Dave Barry, jazz, blues and soul until 2 a.m. So please join myself and Ben next time. Next week, same time, same bat channel. We'll be back with the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other, and thank you indeed for listening. And I'll say good night, John. Good night, John. Bye bye. And all that is now, and all that is gone, and all that's to come, and everything under the sun is in view, and the sun is eclipsed by the moon. Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.